The last couple of weeks, we've started a series on prayer, and I want to thank you for the way that it's been received. It's just been an amazing thing to watch what God's doing. Even here this morning, God's just doing some amazing, amazing things, and just you know, grateful to be here, grateful to be a part of it. So this morning, as we take a time to just focus on prayer and you know, how it is that not only we can talk to God, but we can listen. We forget that prayer is just another word for communication. And communication's got to be two ways, right? It's got to be giving and receiving. It's got to be talking and hearing. So this morning, the title of the sermon is Lord, I want to know you. And it comes from Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. I love this, Hosea. He will raise us up on the third day. Amen? That we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain or the autumn rain, watering the earth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being with us. I thank you for hearing our prayers. Father, truly, you are an awesome God. And you love us and want us to know you. You invite us in with open arms. And so, Father, cause there to be a spark within our own hearts to want to know you more. Deep within our hearts, Lord, help us to want to know you and all that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Give us your spirit, Father. Forgive the weakness of your messenger. Fill me with the spirit and fill those here with the spirit that as you speak through me, they hear through you. And we do get to know you a little more today than yesterday. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Throughout Holy Scripture, there is a common thread. It's a picture of how God desires to know us and how he desires that we know him. It is a picture of marriage. The Old Testament book of Hosea, the parables of Jesus where he speaks of being the bridegroom and of us being the bride, and the fifth chapter of Ephesians, from Old Testament to New Testament and all through the Gospels, all speak to the picture of covenant marriage between God and his people. We have all known couples who have a marriage worth modeling. And when you think of them, you only think of them as being together. Sometimes it's like they just have one name. Kathy and I have known Ken and Wanda, David and Susan, Tommy and Leslie. This is just one long name. You don't say one without the other. And if you see one, you know the other isn't far off. And in truth, as you know them, as you get to know them, it's hard to tell where one ends and the other begins. The two are truly becoming one. In the church where Miriam and I grew up, Miriam Alston, for those of you who don't know me, my wife is Kathy. Miriam's married to Curtis. In the church where Miriam Alston and I grew up, there was a couple there, Mr. and Mrs. Pennell. As a little kid, I thought they were brother and sister. In fact, I thought they were twins. I would say, "Mom, look, there's the twins." And she would just look at me oddly, which she did a lot. But and as I got older and I found out that they were married, I thought, that's crazy. They look just alike. And now that I'm much older, I realize that, as with so many couples who have been so closely bonded together for so long, you really do start looking like the other. And Kathy's so excited that in another 30 years, she's going to be tall. And this is the relationship. This relationship is the relationship that God desires to have with us. He in us, and we in Him, so connected, it's hard to tell where one ends and the other begins. And in time, other people will notice, as they look at you, that you're looking more and more like Him. This is the point that Jesus was driving home in John's account of the Last Supper. At the end of the supper, before they went out to Gethsemane, in Christ's closing prayer, He prayed this from John 17, verse 20. In His prayer to the Father, He says, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they may all be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as We are one, I in them, and You in Me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that You sent Me and have loved them, even as You have loved Me." In all of Paul's letters, he writes how being in Christ is the source of his joy, his knowledge, the key to his life. And on that same occasion in John's Gospel, Jesus tells us the most important thing we need to know about prayer. In John 15, 7, He says, "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Here is that intimacy. As we abide in God, as Hosea says, as we know God, and He abides in us and knows us. Just as in the Old Testament, the union between husband and wife occurred when they knew each other. Here is the key part. Christ in us, and we ourselves in Christ. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. That's why it was so important in Luke 11, verse 1, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Verse 1 of Luke 11 says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after He had finished, one of the disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" I think it was Eric that prayed a little while ago, or said something to the effect of it being a practical sermon. All right, if you're married, or if you're about to be married, think one day you might be married, here's your practical part. You can take notes here. Write this down. Communication in marriage is an art. It is not a science. There is no formula that once you've got down, you can say, that's it. I know how to communicate with women. No, you don't. No, you don't. And as a woman, you can't ever come to a point where I know how to communicate with men, because men only speak in one syllable. Women cannot do that. Marriage communication is an art. It is not a science. No matter how many years you've been married, there is never a time where you can take it for granted what the other is thinking or what they meant by what they say. If you've been married over 40 years, can I get an amen? That was all the men there. Right. Okay, good. Thanks. To truly have good communication in marriage, one must be intentional. You have to want it. You've got to work on it. You have to purposefully work on it. And you have to be willing to learn. So the disciples come to Jesus, right? And understand the relationship between us and God is the same as marriage. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to speak with you. But more, Lord, teach us how to listen to you. The disciples, and I give them a hard time a lot of the time, because they missed it most of the time. But they understood, they got it, that there was a direct connection between Jesus' secret life of prayer and the amazing way and the amazing things that went on in his public life as he lived out his public life. Brothers and sisters, we can have that too. We can begin to live a much better life, see amazing things happen in our life if our prayer life begins to track along the same way that Jesus showed, that Jesus modeled. But we've got to be intentional as we communicate with God. We've got to want it. We've got to be purposeful as we work on it. We need to remember that the door to God's power in our life is prayer. But we need help, a lot of help. When we abide in Him and He abides in us, He enables us to pray. So, Lord, teach us to pray. All right? Number one, open your heart to me, God says, and let me come in. Open your heart to me, and I will open my heart to you, so that I may abide in you, and you may abide in me. Number two, never try to pray on your own, for such prayer is powerless. On your own, you can do nothing. But invite my Spirit to come and to pray with you, and I will open heaven to you. And number three, admit that you don't know how to pray as you ought. For because of sin, you are still too blind, too deaf, and too weak to know how to pray. But let me give you my Spirit, for He is prayer. And He shows you that your sin hinders your prayer so that you may be free of that sin. And He leads you into my presence and power, and He prays for you when you cannot. Over in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 6, Jesus says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, can we talk? Yes. Yes, child, we can. But first, go find a quiet place, a secret place, just for the two of us. Every teacher must have a classroom. We were talking about that a minute ago. But as kids today are learning, it doesn't have to be a classroom with a set address. For kids today, wherever you can get online, that can be your classroom. With Jesus, he told the Samaritan woman that worship is no longer confined to a set address, this mountain or that mountain, but that God is spirit, he says in John 4:24, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. To get online with Jesus, for him to teach us to pray, we don't open up our laptop. We open up our heart and we let him in. And we give him a special place in here, inside us, for his classroom. It's a place just for him and me, just for him and you and your own heart to be together. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray, like every good teacher, Jesus wanted and still wants his classroom to be a place where his students want to come and want to be there and want to stay when they are present. Jesus wants us to cherish that special place he makes for himself inside us. For that is the place where we meet the Father. It is the Father who illuminates the room. It is the Father who gives us the air we move and breathe and live in. And so Jesus says, pray to your Father who is in secret. We kind of scratch our head at that a lot of the time. But let me tell you, do you know any real serious bird watchers? A good bird watcher learns how to listen to each individual bird song. Now, you and I may walk out into some trees over in the park or out on this side of the building somewhere on a pretty day where the birds are out there singing. And if we stop and we listen, at best, you and I will hear maybe 10. But a disciplined birder can distinguish between 30 or 40 different birds at one time. It's creepy how they do that. And they can point them out. They can see them. It's crazy. But so it is when we pray to our Father. Just like the voices of so many birds are unheard and the birds themselves invisible, so too is our Father unheard and unseen to a busy, distracted, and faithless world. This is why he is in secret. The wonderful American poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." The rest only see the berries and miss God. This is how God is in secret. He doesn't try to hide, but he can only be seen with the eyes of faith. So close your ears to the noise of the world. Turn off the news. Close your eyes to the world's distractions and focus and have faith and pray and enter into the center of your own inner temple and close the veil behind you. Sit with your Father for a little while. He loves you as a father loves you. Don't be concerned about whether or not you have a good prayer, or about whether or not you've got anything great to bring to Him. He is much more concerned about what He wants to bring to you. Jesus uses the word Father. That had to strike a hard note with the disciples there in the Sermon on the Mount, because that was new to them, the idea that God could really be our Father. In a chapter over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, Jesus asked them, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" Lord, be my Father. Be my Father. This prayer will only bring joy to the heart of God. Anne Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, reminds us that while we were all thrilled with her dad's worldwide crusades and adventures, she was just waiting for her dad to come home, to be home. And she says that she was raised at home with Ruth Graham as her mother and God as her father. Many of us had absentee fathers when we were growing up. Or we had fathers who just weren't very good dads. Some experts in evangelism suggest that we don't even speak of God as Father anymore because the word engenders so many bad feelings in the hearts and minds of so many people today, because there have been so many failed fathers. But God is in the redeeming business, and He wants to redeem the word Father for us. The picture of marriage, in that marriage relationship, that covenant relationship, to understand our relationship with God, that's a metaphor. But the Son of God introduces God to us in reality as Father. He wants us to know Him as our Father. And really the word Jesus uses is Abba, which really is the Hebrew and Semitic word for daddy, more than the formal father. Daddy, the intimate name a small child would call for his daddy. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 15, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." The Spirit of Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Brothers and sisters, Christ, there on the cross, has removed the sin that has separated us from God. The Old Testament prophets only called God Father in just four verses, but Christ invites us to call Him Father every day and to know Him as Father every day, just as He knows us as His children. God now invites us with open arms to come and crawl up in His lap and ask Him whatever we want. And He loves us so much, and He wants us to give. He wants us to be able to know Him and to give to us. He has so much to give. Ask Him. He wants to give you what He knows to be good. It may not be what we want. What three-year-old is blessed by getting what they want. But we will get what we need. And Matthew 6:8 tells us that he already knows what we need before we ask. Well, of course he does. He is in us and we are in him. His Holy Spirit searches our hearts and knows our needs and helps us as we pray. And however the Father may answer, whatever the answer may be, because remember, Paul asks three times to have this thorn in the flesh removed from him, and the answer was no. My grace is sufficient for you. However the Father may answer, we know that the answer, whatever it may be, comes from deep within his love for us. What Jesus says here in Matthew 7, what he wants us to know is this. Think of the best father, the best parent you know. It may be your own parent. It may be yourself. As much as that parent loved or loves their children, God's love for you, God's love for you is greater. It's far greater. His love for you is beyond imagination. It is infinite. And when I say that his arms are open to us, as we come to him, he wants us to meet him with open hearts to come to him so that his Holy Spirit may fill our hearts with his Father love. And he wants our hearts to be full of his Father love, not only when we want to ask something of him. A child who only spends time with their father when he wants something is going to know a lot of disappointment. But God wants our hearts to be full with his love, his Father love for us all day, every day. For then we can better hear him when he speaks. Just as we're going through our day, as he speaks to us, we can hear him. And then we can know better what it is that we really need to ask and how it is we really need to pray. And then Paul says we can pray without ceasing. It can be just this ongoing conversation with our dad. When our kids were growing up, Kathy and I spoiled them a lot. Way too much. They had so many toys. Oh my goodness. They had so many clothes. We would have garage sales and be able to bring them to Disney after we had the garage sale. Rebecca was always involved in something. Dance classes when she was little. Atlanta Falcons junior cheerleading when she was in middle school. And voice lessons for 5 years till she was in 12th grade. And it always seems that the drive to get her to rehearsal was at least 1 hour one way, no matter what she did. And Chris, bless him, started out as a little kid playing soccer and baseball. He was really good at it. But it seemed after that he was always either in the hospital or going to the doctor. But no matter what, on the way home from the hospital or on the way home from the doctor, there was always an hour-long stop at Toys R Us. The only reason they went out of business is that he got older. And when Kathy and I started unpacking all those boxes back in July when we moved, it seemed like every other box was one of their toys. We are literally on the phone with Rebecca going, "Do you want this entire collection of Disney Princess Barbies? Mom, I only have boys." I know. So what's the point? The point is this. As much as we have always, always loved our two kids and still love them more than they know, I know when I pray to my dad in heaven for them,
that he loves them far more than I can ever imagine. Lord, teach us to pray, to just really talk with our Father in heaven, our dad. And Lord, give us your Spirit that we may know you and your love for us, that you may be in us and we in you. But remind us that your love for us is beyond anything we can know this side of heaven. Hear again the words of Hosea. So let us know. Let us press on and know the Lord. Amen. Father, I thank you for being with us. Lord, there's no reason for us to live weak lives. There's no reason. Because you give us the invitation to pray. More than that, you take us by the hand and you show us the Father. And Father, there is that direct connection between our quiet time, our prayer time with you, and power in our lives. We don't ever have to live weak and helpless lives. We can live with your power, your love, your grace, your amazing grace, every day, every moment of every day. So that no matter what we're going through, we can face it. Because your power is with us. For as we pray, as we know you, as you are in us and we are in you, your power is there. Lord, remind us that every so-called perfect marriage has been through a fire or two already. And so, Father, as we go through the fire with you, Lord, remind us, we do not go powerless or weak, but we go with you through the valley of the shadow, and we don't ever need to be afraid. For you are in us, and we are in you. Help us to know you, Lord, and your love for us. In Christ's name.